it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios. Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome, everybody. It's time for Toker Talk Radio. Phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. If you got comments, concerns, questions, critiques, subjects, topics, anything you want to talk about, we are here to bring you the best in marijuana reform analysis, news, and opinion. So glad to have you here. We're going to spend a lot of time in this hour debunking some of the myths about California's Prop 64. But before we dive into that, I want to go off the warpath for just a second. Every now and then I go off the drug warpath and talk about other politics, and I just can't let it pass without talking about Donald Trump last week. Oh my God, what a week that man had. First, being exposed for a 900 and some odd million dollar carryover loss that means he hasn't paid taxes for over a decade, almost two. But the big story, of course, was the tape that got released from the Access Hollywood, where in discussing on an open mic with Billy Bush, discussing beautiful women and how he assaults them. He grabs them by the pussy, he said. And this has been, he's been trying to dismiss this as locker room talk, right? Ah, it's just locker room talk. And I think too many people, especially when the news first broke, framed this story as bad language, as dirty talk, right? As locker room talk. Folks, the problem with what he said wasn't the word pussy. The problem with what he said was the word grab. That's sexual assault we're talking about here. And he admitted as much when confronted about it. So, man, I just can't even fathom the idea that people would support this man to become president of the United States. It's just unbelievable. But on the other side of this, of course, while the media has been freaking out about, lewd comments, on the other side, you got Hillary Clinton and some WikiLeaks recently showing emails and transcripts from her Wall Street speeches, particularly, and how she was telling people in big business, big finance, that she would oppose every effort at reforming marijuana laws. The question was framed in the sense of, would you go long or go short, referring to how you sell stocks, and short means that you're betting against something. And so, she said she would go short in every way on marijuana reforms. So we're kind of in a dilemma, aren't we? As far as, well, gee, it doesn't look like either of these two major party candidates is serious about the marijuana reform issue. Of course, you got Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, who are fully in support of legalization, but unlikely to win any sort of office to do anything about it. But, you know, the other thing that I also wanted to bring up as well was how in the coverage of this Donald Trump thing, the remarks that he made, it's quite telling how the Republicans and the media have kind of let him skate. It's not as if this comment was shocking in the sense that you were surprised it came out of his mouth,
right? This guy's been running for president for over a year and is called Mexicans rapists and impugn the integrity of a Gold Star family and called for the shutdown of Muslims at the border and, you know, various racist and xenophobic, all, making fun of a disabled guy. It's just interesting to me that none of those lines being crossed was a problem for anybody. But as soon as he starts talking about assaulting a white woman, oh no, oh now he's gone beyond the pale. Kind of an interesting look at how we frame things here in America, right? All lives matter, but the white women matter the most, I guess. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, debunking some of the popular myths about Prop 64 in California.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show. Good day, everybody. Radical Russ here in Aspen, Colorado at the Alaska Northwest Cannabis Classic, at the 26th annual Boston Freedom Rally, at the High Times Cannabis Cup Northern California, day one of CannaCon in Seattle, Washington.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And before we dive into the Prop 64 stuff, I'll remind you, phone line is 650-LEGAL-MJ. And from our chat room, Michael brings up the good point. You know, he's making the comment about white women and how nobody was, nobody on the Republican side, at least, was really shocked about Trump until he started insulting a white woman, right? Insult the Mexicans, the Muslims, the blacks, the gays, the disabled. It didn't really matter, right? So from our chat room, Michael brings up the point that, white women, unless they have been assaulted by Bill Clinton. And that brings up, you know, Trump bringing the Juanita Broderick and Paula Jones and all these women who've accused Bill Clinton of sexual improprieties, assaults, rapes in the past to the debate to try to unnerve Hillary and create a big firestorm of controversy, a big show about the thing. And I think there's two separate things to unpack on that. One is the fact that he did such a classless thing. Trump did a classless thing and try to, you know, psychologically intimidate his opponent and dredge up all this sexual assault stuff as a defense to Trump using women, right? So it's like, once again, he's using women to defend himself from using women. So that's one point. But in no way do I want to dismiss the allegations against Bill Clinton and these women and what they claimed to have experienced, both from Bill in the sexual assault area and in Hillary from the intimidation to not report it or to cover it up. I don't want to dismiss that at all. I think women that make claims of sexual assault and rape need to be taken seriously, just like Hillary said in one of her tweets, and need to be heard. That said, we are talking about the candidate's husband who did things in the 90s, right? And that to me doesn't entirely indict Hillary Clinton to the level that Trump's own words and actions indict him. And regardless of all this discussion that we could have, because I mean I could come up with a huge list of terrible things about Hillary Clinton that I don't like. Even if we are to presume that both Clinton and Trump are equally banal, malevolent, evil, whatever you want to call it, I think I got to break the tie for Clinton in a number of ways. Number one, she's competent. She's actually competent. She actually knows what she's doing, knows what's going on. I may not agree with her choices, but she makes them from an informed position. Trump does everything. He's a George W. Bush guy. Do it from the gut without much knowledge whatsoever, or curiosity for that matter. And number two, I have to give the tie to Clinton based on who else she would appoint in the executive branch and the judicial branch and how they might affect policies moving forward, especially marijuana policies. And third, I break the tie for Clinton based on their supporters. I don't fear Hillary Clinton's supporters. I think they're just average normal folks. But Trump supporters, you know, she called them the basket of deplorables, and she's not too far from the truth. Some of the worst aspects and elements of American culture are lining up in support of Trump. Your white supremacists, for God's sake, are supporting him. So that's what breaks the tie for me. Anyway, let's get off of that. Let's get back into marijuana. Let's talk about this Prop 64 that's on the ballot in California. Because as you know, I went and did a debate about this in Sacramento last week on Wednesday. That was followed up by a bunch of the people from that debate who hate my guts now, following up on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and making death threats and threats of assault and threats of rape and sexual assaults and calling me all sorts of names and making all sorts of meme pictures that paint me in an unflattering light. So it's been quite interesting. It's been quite interesting, I tell you, dealing with all that. And then last night, this percolated into a debate with a discussion or a flame war with Be Real from Cypress Hill, which I have apologized for. It went a little too far off the rails. I want to try to keep things civil. So I've been doing a lot of this research on Prop 64, and I've been diligently listening to the objections being raised by the pot-smoking opponents of this measure. I'm not dismissing them out of hand. I'm taking their allegations seriously, taking their claims and predictions seriously, and trying to find out if there's any sort of factual basis, any sort of reality behind these claims. And in most cases, all I'm getting are frights and scares and warnings and predictions without any sort of backing or any sort of relevant citation of history or stats or the text of Prop 64 that's going to make their awful predictions come true. So let's take a look at some of these. And if you want to get the full version of this, it is my radical rant column for High Times this week. It's in two parts. So the first part, first five myths, appear in today's article. The next five will appear on Friday's article. And I have extensively hyperlinked this thing and footnoted this thing to provide the exact text within Prop 64 or other locations that back up my point. So let's take a look. First of all, medical marijuana, what they've got in California now, ain't legal marijuana. Let's get that out of the way. Medical marijuana ain't legal. This misunderstanding is at the crux of many of these complaints about Prop 64. They begin with the assumption that what's going on in California right now is okay, is just fine, everything's perfectly legal. But understand that Prop 64 is going to legalize the possession and sharing of 1 ounce of marijuana by adults and 8 grams of concentrate. It's going to legalize the home cultivation of 6 cannabis plants indoors, which no jurisdiction can completely prohibit, and the home possession of all the marijuana harvested from those plants. Prop 64 will legalize licensing of buildings and festivals where adults may consume marijuana. Prop 64 will legalize the cultivation, processing, and retailing of marijuana to adults. And folks, none of those activities are currently legal in the state of California. None of them. Prop 64 is also going to allow for retroactive resentencing and expungement for persons convicted of marijuana felonies or misdemeanors that are reduced or legalized by Prop 64. So why would any pot smoker in their right mind decide to vote with the police, prosecutors, prison guards, and other prohibition profiteers to reject marijuana legalization in California for the second time in 6 years? That's what prompted me to take a look at some of their excuses for enabling prohibition to continue in California. So let's start with the big one. The big myth that Prop 64 isn't necessary because it's already legal now under Prop 215. Well, folks, that's a myth. The fact is, even with medical marijuana, marijuana is still contraband. It's still illegal. Prop 215, the Compassionate Use Act, the medical marijuana law in California, doesn't remove a single criminal penalty for the possession or cultivation of marijuana. All it does is provides an immunity to prosecution on the charges of possession or cultivation of marijuana. Now, what's the difference, right? Well, the difference is that under Prop 215, marijuana is still illegal. And because it is still illegal, the evidence of marijuana is reason enough for cops to detain you, search your belongings, and seize your marijuana. And recommendation or not, you can still be ticketed, fined, and or arrested. If you have your doctor's recommendation, you can then present it in court as a defense to the charges filed against you. But that's after you're already going to court, after you've already been through the search, after you've already possibly been arrested and had to bail out. But Prop 64 makes marijuana legal. Legal. Not decrimmed, not medical. Legal. And that means most of the ways cops are allowed to hassle you over weed disappear. The sight of stems and roach in an ashtray. The cop claiming he can smell marijuana. The anonymous tip that you're growing some cannabis. Even the drug dog alerting on your car's trunk are no longer valid reasons for the police to detain you. This reliance on medical marijuana, on Prop 215, is troublesome because not everybody is going to get their medical marijuana recommendation. So what about the poor schmuck who's caught with some weed or even worse, growing some cannabis, who doesn't have the recommendation? Well, still subject to tickets and misdemeanors and felonies and fines and jail time and a criminal record just because he didn't get around to getting his doctor's note. And for the people opposing Prop 64 to say, oh, we don't need legalization, just go get your medical rec, just gives more power to our opponents throughout the rest of the country who continue to say that medical marijuana is just a joke, medical marijuana is just a scheme to be able to get legalization through the back door. These kind of shenanigans going on in California are why every other medical marijuana state has had to have increasingly more strict laws and condition lists because their legislators keep saying, well, we're not going to be like California.
This is bullshit. It's like Cypress Hill concert in here.
All right. Well, that sound means that it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety meeting. Been feeling kind of dangerous these past couple of days. I could really use a safety meeting. We'll be back with more Prop 64 myths and your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ right after this.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
The cannabis industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Not enough money for schools.
Since we made marijuana legal, our schools are better and our kids have more opportunities.
Crowded courts mean police cannot protect our streets.
The great thing is that here in Colorado, law enforcement is able to focus on the number one priority for all of us, which is preventing violent crime.
Never enough money.
Since the passage of Amendment 64, I've seen an increase in resources for our schools.
It's your turn to regulate marijuana.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Okay, maybe you're high too.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry for the delay there. Having some problems with my joint rolling machine. Don't know what's going on there. But welcome back. We are discussing, of course, Marijuana Election Night 2016. And a quick reminder, all the interviews that I've been doing of candidates and spokespeople for the various campaigns are stored up on my SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. If you do a search for MJ Election Night, all one word, MJ Election Night, you should be able to find all of the arguments, or all of the interviews, I should say, that I have recorded. So check that out, soundcloud.com/radicalruss. And remember, I'm Radical Russ everywhere, so YouTube, Pinterest, SoundCloud, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. If you want to find me, I'm Radical Russ. We're continuing our look at Prop 64 and some of the myths that are being promulgated to scare people, pot smokers, into voting against it. And the biggest one, I'd say, is this myth that Prop 64 kills off medical marijuana. Folks, it just ain't true. In fact, Prop 64 protects and strengthens medical marijuana in California. The Pot-smoking opponents of this legalization initiative swear that it's going to bring an end to medical marijuana in California, but when I ask, they cannot point to the text in Prop 64 where that repeal happens. The only thing they can point to is Section 10 of Prop 64, the amendment section, that allows legislative changes by majority vote to portions of Prop 64. They're hanging their hat on this as how the legislature is going to come in and decimate medical marijuana because they only need a majority vote. The problem is the section they're referring to, Section 10, only gives that majority power, that simple majority power, to the new medical marijuana additions within Prop 64, the parts that concern the new MCRSA marijuana regulations, the commercial side of things. They don't apply to the text of Prop 215 itself that protects a patient's possession and cultivation rights for medical use. It can't. It can't repeal 215, and it doesn't. The other thing that can be, other things that can be changed by the legislature with a simple majority concern modifications to the non-medical regulations. So again, some of the licensing and recreational market stuff. They can modify the tax rates by majority vote, but they can't do that until after 2028. So those tax rates are locked in. And by majority vote, they can reduce but not increase any of the penalties. So if they want to take something from a $500 fine to a $100 fine, they can do that, simple majority. They want to take something that's an infraction and make it legal, simple majority. Or if they wanted to increase our limits, like increase the limit from an ounce to 2 ounces or 6 plants, 12 plants, they could do that because that's technically reducing a penalty for a greater amount. So those are the kind of things they could adjust, they could vote on, and a simple majority vote would change it. Anything else that the legislature wants to change or modify is going to require a two-thirds majority. And it has to comport with Prop 64's purposes and intents to tax and regulate non-medical marijuana and to allow personal possession and cultivation rights. Some people are trying to claim that Prop 64 is going to give us these rights to grow and possess, and then the legislature is just going to turn around and repeal that. They're just going to get rid of that. Well, they can't. The purposes and intents of 64 say that it is to allow people to cultivate and possess and use marijuana. So if you make a law that makes that impossible, you violated the purposes and intents. And it being a citizen's initiative, the legislature can't do that. Now, Prop 64 also explicitly protects and enhances Prop 215 in a number of ways. It includes child custody protection for patients, a $100 cap on state registry ID cards, including free cards for the medically indigent. It establishes medical records privacy, kind of like HIPAA for your medical marijuana records. And Prop 64 explicitly guarantees that the new limits, regulations, and licensing that are applied to non-medical marijuana do not apply to Prop 215 patients. So when they're trying to say, oh, well, I can grow 99 plants and Prop 215 is going to limit me to 6, no. The limit of 6 is for non-medical cultivation and shall not be used to infer, amend, or change your Prop 215 growing rights. See, what's happening is that most of the people angry at Prop 64, what they're complaining about is the elimination of their collectives and cooperatives, their dispensaries, the model that they've been using in their quasi-legal medical dispensary system. But this is a case of misfocused rage because Prop 64 doesn't eliminate the collectives and cultivation or cooperatives. The Medical Cannabis Regulation and Safety Act, the MCRSA law that was signed last year, does that. Prop 64 doesn't affect that. That's already been affected. Now, this leads to another myth. When you tell them this part, they'll say, ah, aha, but Prop 64 locks in MCRSA, so it can't be overturned. Well, this is kind of a Hail Mary pass on their side, because the fact is the MRCRSA law, the Medical Cannabis Regulation and Safety Act that was signed last year, is the law now. It is the law, and it is compatible with Prop 215, so there's no way to overturn it. This fantasy that you're going to get it overturned is just that. The theory here, this is the way they're operating theory, is that MRCRSA was passed by the legislator, so it's a legislative statute. Prop 215 was an initiative passed by the people. And under California's constitution, only the people can modify a citizen initiative. The legislature can't, unless the initiative says they can. So the theory here is that any day now, somebody's going to file a lawsuit that claims the new MRCRSA laws violate the intent of Prop 215, the citizen initiative. And the courts will agree the legislature overstepped their bound and violated 215. So then the courts will render MRCRSA invalid. And then that will bring California back to the early days of unregulated Wild West style medical marijuana collectives that are still banned throughout many parts of the state. But they say, if we pass Prop 64, since it's a citizen initiative, that's going to elevate MRCRSA from the ranks of legislative initiative, or legislative statute, to citizen initiative. And that'll be something the courts can't find incompatible with Prop 215. You got that? I mean, seriously, this is why they want you to reject legalization. For at least another 4 years, folks. Let's be realistic. They want to reject legalization for at least another 4 years on this theory that a lawsuit might be filed that might win and might overturn recent laws, so we might go back to the exact lack of regulation that started this mess in the first place. But here's the problem with this reasoning. They're pinning their hopes on a misunderstanding. There was a case in California called People v. Kelly, the California Supreme Court, that determined that all Prop 215 does is protects the rights of patients to personally possess and cultivate marijuana and infers a right to transport it. And the problem in People v. Kelly was Senate Bill 420, which was written to try to bring some regulation to the statewide kind of dispensaries that it's set up, also established an artificial limit. It said that you could have up to 8 ounces of marijuana and I don't remember, was it 6 cannabis plants? I can't remember exactly. But it set up some limits. And the Supreme Court in People v. Kelly found that you couldn't do that. SB 420 couldn't do that because that was setting a limit on how much medicine you could use. And Prop 215 doesn't have a limit and says any amount that your doctor says is medically necessary. That was a conflict. And so that limit could not stand. And in deciding that, the court established that all Prop 215 is doing is giving you this right to possess and cultivate. Nothing in Prop 215 set up any sort of commercial regulations. These collectives that they are upset about losing were established by Senate Bill 420 and now have been superseded by MRCRSA. And they all have, and that all has to do with the commercial medical market. So MRCRSA can't violate Prop 215. No matter whether Prop 64 passes or not, because MRCRSA doesn't infringe on those essential possession and cultivation rights in Prop 215. And it doesn't set any fixed personal limits for medical consumers that have been unapproved by the voters. All MRCRSA does is regulate the commercial market that it replaced in SB 420. There's nothing for it to conflict with 215. MRCRSA is here to stay whether we pass Prop 64 or not. So trying to pin your hopes on whether or not a lawsuit might rescue you and might get rid of a law you don't like is pretty thin ice to be standing on when we're talking about 8,800 felony arrests a year in California. When we're talking about people that are still sitting in prison right now for their marijuana crimes who could be set free if Prop 64 passes. We're talking about telling those people, sorry, you've got to remain criminals. You've got to stay in prison because we don't like the taxes? Maybe you could do that, but I sure could.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hemposapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on the issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana! Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Continuing our look at the most popular myths being promulgated by pot-smoking opponents of California's Prop 64 legalization initiative. I was in a big discussion with Be Real from Cypress Hill, who's come out against Prop 64. And one of the major reasons he gave was that it creates a monopoly. I hear this a lot in various incarnations. It's going to be a monopoly. It's a giveaway to the 1%. It's a market capture for the elite. It's Monsanto, Big Pharma, whoever else that's behind this that wants to create a huge monopoly and kill off small businesses. Well, that's just a myth. The fact is that within Prop 64, there are strong anti-monopoly protections, and it favors the existing small businesses. So if you're going to object to Prop 64, I get that. We're not always going to agree. But while you may be entitled to your own opinion, you are not entitled to your own facts. And these are the facts. When these people, it's funny because a lot of it to me, a lot of what I hear and read in this opposition is anger at the misallocation of wealth, the income gap between rich and poor, the political influence of the 1% versus the 99%, the worst aspects of predatory capitalism, etc. And these, to me, are problems that are endemic of everything in America. And I wonder, why is it that cannabis is supposed to solve these things? Like, the problem I'm trying to solve is keeping people's ass out of jail, keeping people from being harassed by cops over marijuana. I'm not trying to solve racism. I'm not trying to solve income inequality. Those aren't the goals of legalization. Now, legalizing may then lead to an industry that then can address those problems. But it can't until it exists. It can't until it's legal. A lot of this, I feel, is just some of that conspiracy theory kind of Illuminati tinfoil hat kind of stuff. Especially when I read stuff like, George Soros. George Soros is funding this because he's got stock in Monsanto, and Monsanto wants to take over the cannabis plant, right? George Soros, the big evil George Soros. Which is weird, considering that they're defending Prop 215, and George Soros was the guy who ponied up the money necessary to rescue Prop 215 from the brink of electoral failure in 1996. 20 years ago, he didn't seem to be so evil, huh? And the other thing that's weird is that some of these people that are objecting to Prop 64 favored other ballot initiatives, the CCHI, California Cannabis Hemp Initiative, the Jack Herer Initiative, or MCLR, the Marijuana Control, Legalization, and Regulation Initiative. Neither of them made the ballot. Neither of them ever make the ballot. They don't even gather half the signatures they need. But what's weird is that if you look at those two initiatives, they have far fewer protections against corporations dominating the weed market than Prop 64 has. And in those two initiatives, they trust the legislature to set up the fair and equitable licensing procedures. The same legislature they say is going to be evil when it comes to distributing the taxes or regulating medical marijuana or any of these other things. They're this evil, untrustable body in Prop 64. But in CCHI and MCLR, hey, yeah, go ahead, make up all the regulations you want for the market. So that's a little disingenuous to me. Now, let's talk about how Prop 64 encourages small businesses. The fear here is, oh, it's going to be big business, mega market, you know, Walmart of weed, right? Well, the first benefit for small businesses begins with the licensing. In Prop 64, it specifies that priority in licensing will first go to the existing medical marijuana businesses until 2020. Now, they're going to start the licensing in 2018. By 2021, we'll have some of these, the licenses will be opened up for everybody. So there's a 3-year head start for all the existing small businesses, the existing small growers, the small retailers, the small processors, to get their piece of the recreational pie before any of the big players get involved. And within Prop 64, as they're giving those licenses out, the regulators that give those licenses have the discretion to deny licenses if they'd lead to unfair competition or monopolistic practices. There's no such protection in CCHI or MCLR like that. Prop 64 also removes a requirement that distributors have to be independent, so there's more opportunities for small business. And Prop 64 allows for vertical integration. That means you can have any of the licenses or all of them, except tester. If you're a tester, you can only be a tester, which kind of makes sense. But if you want to be your own grower, your own processor, your own retailer, you can do that. And you can do that through what they're adding as a micro business license. And the micro business license is perfect for the small grower who wants to grow boutique buds, process them himself, and then sell them. That will be available. That kind of micro business, that doesn't exist in CCHI or MCLR. And Prop 64 has a residency requirement that lasts through 2019. So we can't have the big out-of-state carpetbaggers immediately jumping into the market. And it removes restrictions against licensing folks who have gotten previous marijuana or some drug felonies. Right now, there's prohibitions against drug felons getting licensed. And of course, Prop 64 has a moratorium on the grows larger than an acre, the mega grows, until after 2020. So we've got all of these head starts and bonuses and benefits in Prop 64 for the small business, for the existing small business, and for new micro businesses that will be developing. That's not to say there's not going to be a place for big marijuana, a place for big corporate players. But folks, it's going to be like beer. There's Budweiser. There's Miller. There's Coors. You can drink that shit if you want to. I don't. But you can. And plenty of people do. They sell plenty of that stuff all around the country. But that hasn't stopped a thriving craft brew industry from taking shape. Right across the street here in Portland, I can walk into a place called Growler Guys. Get me a half-gallon growler from a choice of 40 different taps that have all local Pacific Northwest beers and ciders. They're doing great. You can't get any Budweiser there, can't get any Miller there, can't get any Coors there. So I'm not worried about this big marijuana, this big corporate marijuana that everyone's talking about, because this idea that these corporations that are trying to make money, trying to make a profit, are going to come in and mass produce shitty, swaggy weed and expect to survive in the marketplace when they're going to have to be competing against not only people's own home grows and the existing medical marijuana system, but also all these other newly licensed people that are going to be competing with them. Competition's only going to make the weed better, not worse. Now, another consideration, another problem some of the people have with Prop 64 is the taxes. That taxing medicine is immoral and it's going to inflate the marijuana prices. We're going to have $500 ounces. Folks, it's just not true. Legal marijuana states right now have marijuana that's priced far lower than California medical marijuana is, even with the taxes added in. I mean, these Prop 64 people, the opponents of it, are lamenting that it's got this 15% excise tax and a $9.25 per ounce cultivation tax. And everybody's got to pay it, even the medical marijuana patients. And on this point, I will agree that it is immoral. It is wrong for governments to balance budgets by taxing people's medicine. I'd take it further. I think it's wrong for governments or companies to profit in any way from the suffering of human beings. But that's my single-payer healthcare rant. We'll save that for later. So, yeah, it's wrong to add this tax to medical marijuana purchases. But as a practical matter, it's even more immoral to maintain the prohibition that creates the risk tax on medicine that inflates it just as bad as a pharmaceutical corporation's markup on cheap pills. Marijuana's marked up to the levels that even pharma bro Martin Shkreli would have to look twice at. For example, in Washington State has the worst marijuana legalization in effect today. The worst. Everyone agrees. The consumers have no home grow rights, so there's no competition for the market. The statewide production canopy is artificially capped, so the amount that can be produced doesn't necessarily match what the market wants. And the excise tax there isn't 15%, it's 37%. 37% excise tax, plus in Vancouver, it's 8.7% state and local taxes. Throughout the rest of Washington, it's at least of 7 or so. So we get taxes in Washington that can approach 45% once you add in the local taxes. And the retail price for marijuana there is around $9 per gram, tax included. And that's down from the previous high of $25 a gram in the recreational side and around $12 a gram in the medical side. The price of weed has gone nothing but down, and the regulators estimate it's going to keep going down about 25% every year for the next couple of years. In Colorado, the data coming out of there shows that they are down below $7 per gram average, $6.67 per gram average. And during 420, they had specials that were in the $5 a gram range. This is all down from Colorado starting at about $8.80 a gram. Here in Oregon, we're experiencing a similar dramatic drop in price. Legalization, you see, increases supply, increases competition, reduces difficulty in production, and reduces the risk of getting caught. According to a study by Rand Corporation back in 2010, the legal production cost of a pound of weed is less than what they're charging for an ounce in a California dispensary. The legal production cost of weed can be down to as low as $15 an ounce. So, yeah, if we take the current $300 eighth or $300 ounce in medical California and you throw another $9.25 on top of that, and then you multiply the whole thing by another 15%, then yes, the ounce becomes $355.64, and that's 18.5% more expensive in the short run. But that's assuming the ounce stays at $300. As competition and increased production drop the ounce down to $200, the added taxes bring the ounce up to $240. That's about 20% less than the untaxed medical marijuana $300 ounce in the long run. And $200 an ounce, that's a high estimate. That RAND report says legalization could make $100 to $150 ounces realistic and could theoretically drop the price as low as $38 an ounce. Legalization lowers prices. Lower prices are better for patients. We're back to close things up right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
When I was in the Marines and I did fracture both my tibia and fibia, they gave me multiple painkillers, Oxycontins, Percocets, hydrocodone, painkillers. You're addicted. You know you're addicted. The pride that I took being a Marine was gone. With marijuana, I felt like not only can I treat myself and treat the pain, but I can also live. Dealing through the VA, it is never talked about. It was never an option. Why do I have to live in pain?
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As we close up shop here, just a couple of thoughts. First of all, on the tax thing that we just talked about, the thing about taxing the medical marijuana patients in California, I agree that it's immoral to tax them. But here's the practical problem. California's medical marijuana law is so lax, anybody can get a recommendation. All you got to do is lie to a doctor about your arrest anxiety syndrome or your want-to-shop-at-a-pot-shop-itis, whatever mystery malady you might have, and you get your card, right? So if we set up Prop 64 to have this 15% tax plus $9.25 an ounce, but we only charge it to the rec people, who's going to remain as a rec person? Who's not going to go get their recommendation to get their tax break? And if enough people did that to avoid paying the taxes, then Prop 64 doesn't bring any tax revenue, doesn't bring enough money to pay for itself. And then people say, oh, legalization's a failure. Didn't work. You promised all this tax money and didn't come in. So to me, it seems that if you want the patients to be exempt from the taxes, you're going to have a more strict guideline as to who can get a recommendation. Because the general public, they're probably cool with the idea that the cancer patient or the AIDS patient shouldn't have to pay taxes on weed. But when they see the 20-year-old skateboard kid who's got anxiety and he's moshing at the Cottonmouth Kings concert, I think they want him paying taxes. I don't think they think he should get a medical deduction on his taxes for that. And I know this pisses people off when I say this kind of stuff, but our perspective on what is or is not medical is the minority perspective. The majority of the voters out there, when they think of medical marijuana, they're thinking of seriously sick and injured people using cannabis as medicine. They're not thinking of just, you know, I use it for wellness. It helps my anxiety. I go to sleep better. Even though I'll agree, those are perfectly valid medical reasons. But again, it's not what we think. It's what is the perception? What is the framing? How does this appear? So if you ask me, the 15% tax that patients have to pay in California, that's the surcharge for the ease with which you can get a recommendation. In almost every other state, you've got to collect medical records for the past 3 years. You've got to go to a real doctor and have a real exam. You've got to pay the state a whole bunch of money for a card. California patients aren't paying that expense. They pay $30 at the doc in the box and boom, they're done. And again, I'm going to get some hate mail on this, but I think in the long run, you're going to see far cheaper weed through legalization than you will through medical marijuana. And this leads me to a note I just got in email. Apparently there's this event going on being put on by a lot of the Jack Herer Initiative people. And it's going to feature Dennis Perrone and who else is going to be there? John Entwistle, two of the 215 authors in Santa Cruz. And they're going to have a kind of a teach-in to defeat Prop 64, why it's bad for medical cannabis patients and recreational users. And it's Buddy Doozy will be there. He is the one of the proponents of the CCHI. And of course, he says this is designed to destroy Prop 215 and allow large corporations to take over the medical cannabis industry. And it's just terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. And Michael Jolson from CCHI says, quote, "The Adult Use of Marijuana Act, now known as Proposition 64, was force fed to us by the billionaires who authored it and without input from the larger cannabis reform community." Man, they didn't ask us. 2018 is just around the corner, and we shouldn't rush to legalize the recreational use of cannabis at the expense of medical cannabis patient rights. Instead, we should enact legislation that simultaneously protects Prop 215 and entirely ends the prohibition of the cannabis hemp plant." End quote. Sure. I'm with you there. That's a great idea. So, how do we do that? I imagine we have to get an initiative on the ballot, don't we? And to get an initiative on the ballot, we have to have some money, don't we? And who's got that money? Because I know CCHI doesn't have it. I know they couldn't get it in 2016 or 2014 or 2012 or 2008 or 2006 or 2004 or 2002 or 2000 or any of the years they've tried to run the damn thing. Never come close. What is going to change after California loses its second straight mainstream conservative legalization initiative? After a second straight loss in a presidential election year, what's going to change in the non-presidential election year of 2018 that's going to make a ton of money flow to CCHI, get it on the ballot, and then get it passed? That's my biggest problem with the Prop 64 haters is if you had a better plan, maybe we could wait for it. But I see no evidence you have any shot in hell of making any lasting change. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a
seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you own it, you smoke it, and it goes down.